All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into today's episode. So I have a very special guest on my show today. He is Javon Franks. He is the host of two podcasts, actually. He's originally from Charleston, South Carolina. He, like me, has a passion for not only collecting but telling stories of all kinds. He especially likes science fiction. He has a science fiction based podcast. I'm gonna let him tell you all about that. He's done some really cool things in his life. He's traveled all the way up Interstate 95 from Canada all the way down to Miami. I was really excited when I found that out about him, because that's something that I would like to do as well. I would also like to do Route 66 too. So I want to also give you, Javon, the chance to say anything else about yourself, to introduce yourself. Tell us about your podcast and who you are.
Blake, thank you for the opportunity to share a little bit about my journey and myself with your audience. So I would say about me, I'm curious more so than anything else. I like to find out why. And to share what I find out with people, sometimes just my friends and family, my wife and daughter are usually my audience when I learn something new or interesting. But I decided that maybe other people might find some of what I had to say interesting as well. Justice is something that I'm really passionate about. Something I was doing this morning before we got on this call, I was calling into some of our elected officials and criminal justice agencies about the murder of Ahmaud Arbery. If you haven't heard of this case, it's a very egregious, it's a lynching of a black man in Brunswick, Georgia. Please don't just be upset about it. Don't just share the video, but call the district attorney's office. Call other officials in Brunswick, Georgia, and demand justice. If we don't demand these things, they don't happen.
I'm glad you brought that up too, because that's something, and you have an episode that you talked about a little bit. We'll get more in depth into that, but as far as this case that you're talking to now, I just learned of it this morning, literally like this morning on Twitter. I'm like, what is this? You know, I haven't really seen too much about it, but now that I'm learning about it, and I live in Georgia, so I'm in Atlanta, so this is something that definitely hits home. And as I learn more about it, as it kind of grows, I guess you could say, I want to see definitely what I can do, how I can not only just use my platform but actually do something about it. I know one thing with us as podcasters, we like to talk. I think that's something that's in common with every podcaster, but I think in situations like that, that's more of like an action item, like things like that. Like, I want to go out and actually do something, like make the phone call, go to the attorney's office, or whatever it is that we decide to do. But yeah, I don't want to go too in depth into that. Let's kind of cover some basics real quick, because again, this the premise of these series that I'm doing, podcasting and collaborating, is to really talk about our experiences not only as a podcaster, like what kind of equipment and things like that we use, software, but also we're gonna have a chance to really discuss like your shows and really go in depth into topics like that. But I just want to cover a couple quick things. So like, what kind of equipment do you use to record your shows?
My main piece of equipment is actually my cell phone. I have an iPhone, and before I think I had a 7. I was a little bit behind a 7 or an 8, but I've got a new phone. One of the iPhone X's that just came out. But that has been my main piece of equipment. Look, one is portable. The sound quality I was pretty impressed with, but it also allows me to do the editing and whatnot. More recently, I did get a microphone that actually plugs into my phone. It can plug into other devices as well, but it's small enough for me to just take with me anywhere I go. Improve the sound quality drastically. It's a Shure MV88. It's a whole kit that you can buy from like a Guitar Center or any of kind of the music equipment store.
You said a Shure V88?
Shure MV88. I'll send a link so you can include it with this episode.
Cool, yeah.
But that allows me to just improve the sound quality. It's got an app that allows you to adjust the microphone in different ways as well. And the Anchor app, I'm not just throwing in my mandatory Anchor sponsorship, right. But they really have made it very easy to go from just having a phone and turning, taking that device and then turning it into a podcast production tool.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've actually so I just released my first episode without my Anchor ad in it. Only because it was a bonus episode because I actually ran into some people who were talking about sponsorships and ran across a feed. And it was saying how, you know, it's not necessarily beneficial to put that Anchor ad in there, but I'm like, Anchor is one of the main reasons why I'm able to do my podcast. So I think the monetary side of it is not that much, but I think the ability to create and to podcast and use this platform is absolutely free, and it distributes it to multiple platforms is a beautiful thing. So I'm all for Anchor because I've also been hearing stuff like about platforms like Podbean. There's another one I had wrote down somewhere, but I know Podbean's another one that's popping up. But I don't know. I like Anchor, and I like you started off with very basic equipment too, and that's kind of what I'm learning too. With as I meet more podcasters and have these kind of conversations, a lot of people just really just start with what they have. Although I ran into some people who've actually gone out and bought microphones and has setups with switchboards and different that enables different channels and stuff like that. But for the majority of podcasters, just pretty much start with what you have and make it work.
I think that's really key with life in general is that, you know, especially when we try to make big changes that sometimes we don't have everything that we want. But the main thing about podcasting is that it's about your voice and your story and the stories you're trying to tell. And I think maybe, you know, 20 years ago was about the blog. Everybody had a blog, and then video became more accessible. So now then people started doing video blogs, and now podcasting has become more accessible. So I think the medium is not as important as the content, as they say, the internet content is king.
And let's go ahead and get into that. Like, why did you start your podcast? Why did you start podcasting?
Well, very similar to your story. I had an interest in doing podcasting or storytelling or radio of some kind for many years, and I did like a couple episodes of a radio show in my college days and whatnot. But I came to a point in my life where I really I had to decide what I was going to do next. I had a pretty traumatic event with my health, my mental health in particular, and I ended up spending time in a behavioral hospital, the loony bin, as they say. Ended up losing my job as a result of everything that was happening around my health, and I just couldn't perform my tasks, my responsibilities there as an executive director of a nonprofit. And so I was sitting at home and had nothing to do with my time. And I said, well, you know, if I'm not, you know, right now I have no excuses. I have no other obligations that, you know, I'm too tired at the end of the day from having completed. And, you know, I really felt that what I was really good at and what my truth was about my ability to tell stories and to find stories that were worth telling. Mm-hmm. So kind of it was one, time and opportunity, and two, pursuing a passion, something that I felt genuinely passionate about.
Wow, that's very powerful. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate you being willing to share that too. I very similar to you went through a very traumatic situation. I have been committed to institutions before in the past, but most recently I quit my teaching. I was a teacher about a year and a half ago, going on 2 years now, because I was battling depression and suicidal ideation very bad. And instead of trying to fight through and keep my job, I just resigned and quit. And I've been kind of on this like self-help journey, healing journey ever since then. Working different jobs, doing different things over the course, and I eventually landed on podcasting. And so I've also found that there are many podcasters like you and I who start podcasting for that very reason. It's kind of like born out of the need to feel, I don't want to say like a void, but to fulfill a sense of passion that we have inside. You know what I'm saying? Because even though we've gone through, you know, pretty traumatic and serious things, especially being challenged by mental health, you know, that's pretty serious. But to still want to have our voice be heard and to share and to do something, be productive. I think that that's something that a lot of times is tied up in the stigma of mental health. I think a lot of people think that people who have mental health challenges or may suffer from a mental illness, that they're not capable of still being productive or going to work or, to create and do something like a podcast, or to be, you know, like how you were right before, an executive director. You know, you just happen to have had a situation. So I think that it's important to have these conversations, and for other podcasters to hear this, but then just for people in general to know that these are experiences that other people, and especially as Black men, I know that this is something that I found is, I can't say rare anymore, because in the spaces that I'm starting to network and put myself in, I'm starting to see it. It's starting to become more of a norm to me. And so because I'm now putting myself in these spaces and even creating this space like my podcast, I'm starting to see that there are a lot of brothers like myself who go through those experiences. And I'm very happy that you, like me, have created something positive out of it. And like, your podcast is like one of the, it's become one of the ones that I've binge watched. I'm not binge watched, but binge listened to.
Wanted to thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, like, so I want to get into your show too, because it gives me a sense of, so podcasting for me has always allowed me to, like, I guess you could say, escape a little bit. But yours has allowed me to escape really into like a new place. The way you combined like this, specifically with the New York Files, I've pretty much gone through most of those. The way that you infuse the sounds of like the subway, and I know one time you were like recording, you literally were recording on the corner of like 200, like you were standing on the corner, like recording your podcast, and you could hear the background. And I thought that was so, such a great thing. So what gave you the idea to do that? 'Cause I never thought to be like out somewhere with my microphone, record my podcast. What gave you that idea to bring that kind of aspect to your show?
That's a good question. I would say I want to do content that people want to listen to, and so part of my background is in public relations and marketing and advertising, that sort of stuff. So I just kind of have that mindset about, you know, if I want somebody's attention, it's got to be worth their listening to. And one of the ways to do that is to, you know, talk to people, you know, get them to help carry the message and whatnot. And part of my kind of living, part of my experience is also, you know, I'm mentioned before my curiosity, and, you know, I'm always wanting to ask more questions and capture moments, and for other people to kind of, I want to pull other people into my world. So I started doing these kind of really kind of live and in place episodes where, like, I was downtown here in Tampa one day and they were having a food truck rally at like the little park. So I just started talking to the different food truckers about their food completely impromptu, you know, literally just walked up to people and said, "Hey, I've got a podcast. I'd love to do it. I'm doing a mini episode. Can I talk to you about your food and what's on your menu?" That sort of thing. So that format of just being out at a place, recording what's happening at that time, is something that I started getting used to doing. And then I had taken some temporary work in New York City, and I wanted to keep the momentum going with my podcast. So I said, I kind of went in with no particular intention, but just saying, okay, I'm going to do episodes here. I'm going to capture sound while I'm here. I'm going to use what I have right here to see what I can pull together for episodes. So I think part of it is about being present in those spaces, and that's another one of those mental health things when they talk about, you know, centering yourself and being aware of what's really going on. Mindfulness, exactly. Mm-hmm. So part of it was kind of living that on a day-to-day basis. Part of it was also, how can I make an episode out of what I'm doing in this moment, in this time, and I happen to be in New York City. And I think New York is, and I say this in the episodes, that New York is this place that everybody knows it, even if you've never been there. Yeah. But what is the real New York City? So I think that's why I was coming from with it as well, is wanting to ask a question that I thought many people might have and would be interested in hearing answers to.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you say that, because even hearing you say it out loud, it really makes something click for me, which is that, and specifically with your podcast, it almost forces me to be present, you know, to be in that moment and really tune in. And I think that's one of the things that I've enjoyed about podcasts, is it does give you the sense of escaping. But with your podcast, the sense of being present, like, I remember the first time I heard, like, the sound effects of, like, you, I think it was just, you had an intro of, like, just walking into the subway, and I literally felt like I was in a New York subway, just how vivid it was. And so I think that that's really good that you've found a way to infuse that. And because it seems that you have a sense of creativity to you, like, you're very good with, like, I know you said you like photography and arts, but that is really a creative piece to a podcast that I haven't seen in a while. And I think that's another joy to podcasts, is it gives people an opportunity to really showcase who they are in a different type of medium. Like, audio in a podcast is a different way, and the way you do it is really, really dope. And I really, really like your show. Like, I just can't say it enough.
Well, I appreciate that. I think it's important in whatever we do to try and do something a little bit different. Your podcast is very introspective and kind of goes into those questions, and you know, I get a sense of kind of where you really are in your experience. And I think that's very, very important, but also kind of reflecting on how you're moving through the world and the conversations that you're hearing, whether that's with, like, the episode with Taraji P. Henson, where you brought in commentary that she had about her mental health challenges and whatnot. So I think I would say that's, I think it's a challenge, but it's a worthy one for every podcaster to pick up, is how do you make your show different and worth listening to for the audience?
Yeah, that's true too. Understanding who your audience is, in the beginning, I didn't even think about who my audience was. You know, it wasn't up until until like recently, like when my podcast actually started to grow, that I was like, okay, who's actually listening to my show, and what do they want to hear, and what does it mean to grow your audience, or how do you go about doing that? And so for mine, my show was more of like I guess it started off as like a self-help, self-improvement type show with a format like that. And I also know that it's a delicate balance between having that and it being a podcast, which is, of course, I want people to listen to it, but I still want to remain true to, like, the diary aspect of it. Like, it's just me kind of releasing and talking about different things. But what it's also given me the opportunity to do is to have dope conversations like the one I'm having now and share this moment with somebody else. Like, these are all things that I would probably, like, if I went to New York, to be able to, like, reflect on that with somebody. So I like being able to podcast and collaborate with other people. And I want to talk more about one of your other episodes, and even about the situation in Brunswick, Georgia, as well, because you have one called Death and Sunshine. And you basically kind of covered the history and the status of, like, a capital punishment. Now, I just want to let you kind of introduce, like, tell people, like, what the episode is about, because it's very good, and I don't want to mess anything up. So tell the people, like, what that episode is about.
Okay, so Death and Sunshine is an episode that covers capital punishment, the death penalty, and that was a topic that I had worked on many years ago. And the phrase or term, the school to prison pipeline, is one that's certainly become more popular. We as African Americans have a very, we probably think about matters of criminal justice and justice in general probably much more so than most people. And in particular, the death penalty is a topic that I found years ago most people didn't know much about. And I think it's very critical because it is the ultimate outcome of our criminal justice system when somebody has been found guilty. It's also a topic that I think stirs very strong emotions, but it's one that is particularly important to us because the vast majority of people on death row facing the death penalty are African American men. For a number of reasons, I wanted to cover just the way the system actually works and who is subject to these incredibly harsh penalties. And I knew somebody who lived in this area that when I worked on the death penalty issue, he was he lives in the Tampa Bay area. So it was, part of it was just, you know, who do I know that I could talk to something interesting about? And mm-hmm. that is Mark Elliott with Floridians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of that main theme, using what you have and using what you know, but also trying to touch on an issue that is important and worthy of people's time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very good. I just love that, because I think that that's something else that I haven't seen too much of. But I mean, I've seen people talk about different things on their shows, but to really raise awareness about a topic like capital punishment, I think that it showcases the ability for a podcaster to use their platform to talk and put insight and share their perspective about something like capital punishment. I just think that that's really good. And then you also have, I want to talk about your other podcast as well. You also have a sci-fi mm-hmm. podcast called Static Corpse. Let's talk a little bit about that one. What is that one about?
Okay, before I get into that, I just want to echo what you were saying, that whether it's the death penalty or exploring New York City or going on a journey that's more introspective like yours, the great thing about podcasting is that it can give you more time to really dig into issues and ideas and explore things. And in a world where everything is so like sound bites and 2 minutes and on to the next topic,
mm-hmm.
I think now more than ever, we need to have those longer conversations and really see what we can learn and explore through those conversations. Static Core is a sci-fi story that I had been working on probably for 20-something years at this point. You know, it's anybody who writes fiction or poetry or anything like that, it's always kind of a process of writing and rewriting. And my vision, my dream for that story has always been that it would be an animated series with an integrated video game. So, and what that would look like is that, you know, you're watching a show on Netflix or Amazon or wherever you happen to be watching it, but then there's a video game that goes along with it, and a lot of the things that, and those two things kind of cross-pollinate each other.
Mm-hmm.
And as somebody who grew up playing video games and watching anime and animated series, I just thought that would be a really fun way to not just tell a story, but to have, but the great thing is about video games is that they're interactive. It allows mm-hmm. you as the player to live and have fun in that world.
Mm-hmm.
The story itself is it's kind of in the cyberpunk genre, which is movies like The Matrix, more recently Altered Carbon on Netflix, but deals a lot with technology, like high technology and low life are the two main themes of cyberpunk. Low life meaning that despite this fantastic technology, there's still oppression, and that can be political, economic, racial, but many of the problems that we have today persist despite the fact that we can travel to, you know, the moon or other planets, that we can have mm-hmm. virtual reality that's indistinguishable from the real world as we live in it. So it kind of, I think the core of what cyberpunk is really trying to do is ask a question, what does it mean to be human, and how does that change as our technology continues to change and advance? And I think that's relevant right now because the technology that we're living with, we have devices that can listen to us and give us information that we didn't ask for.
you
probably all have that experience where we're talking about something, or we search for a plane ticket someplace, and the next thing we know, our Facebook feed is full of advertisements for things to do in Chicago or wherever you're headed. Our most recent presidential election was deeply influenced by Facebook. We have facial recognition software and technology that can now identify people, but it does a really poor job at identifying people of color. In some ways, we're living through what it means to be in a high-technology society that's still dealing with the ills of inequality and oppression.
Wow, yeah, and that I'm so glad. I love the way you just said that, because from both of your shows, I could tell you found a way to merge those two ideas. The idea that we are living in a society, in a world that is extremely oppressive, especially oppressive and racist and all the kind of isms and things that I can go down, but you still find a way to have like a creative aspect to it with the sci-fi piece. So why do you think it's in, I really want to touch base on that, like, and really kind of pick your brain on that. Like, why do you think it's important, or not necessarily why you think it's important, but how do we as podcasters engage with that? Because it's almost like if we don't have a big platform to a certain degree, you're not reaching a big audience, but you may be sending a big message. So how do we find balance in that? Like, is it, do we still talk about these things, or what are you thinking?
Well, yeah, I think if we don't talk about them, nobody will. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, and that doesn't necessarily have to be everybody's calling to, you know, address big issues necessarily, or mm-hmm. or things like racism, oppression, bigotry, or the matters of justice, that sort of thing. But I think it's disingenuous to the world that we live in if we aren't having those kinds of conversations. Mm. So it is about a balance, which is what I try to strike in both of my stories, with my traditional podcast, Journeyman's Journal, and with Static Core, even though it's fictional, is that life is that way, you know, that there are ups and there are downs. There are moments of sadness and moments of joy. And I think to explore both of those, I think, is just a more authentic way. I think that in the podcast that inspired me to get started, Snap Judgment is one that is kind of like the granddaddy of a lot of podcasters. And it is real life storytelling, but it covers the gamut from incredibly sad stories in some cases to triumphant stories. They even do ghost stories during Halloween season and spun that off. So it runs the gamut from in some cases a supernatural to criminal justice issues. Ear Hustle is a great podcast that covers the lives of people who were incarcerated. And then there are things like Undisclosed, which is a criminal justice one. There are so many different ways to tell these stories. The Moth mm-hmm. is another great true life story podcast. There's one, Mortified, is hilarious, and it's all about people's journal writings from when they were teenagers and how ridiculous those things that we experience as kids and teenagers can be. So we can laugh, we can cry, and we can do that in the same podcast.
Yeah, I really like that. And I think that that's, again, the beauty of podcasting, which you really have the opportunity to create whatever it is that you want, as well as find an audience and build a community of people around you that kind of see things from your perspective, or maybe even challenge your perspective, but that'll help you grow. Mm-hmm. So what kind of, I know you've had a lot of cool people on your shows. I've listened to a couple of them, and I know you've had a couple guests. Who have been some of your some of the guests that you had on your shows for things that you're passionate about, like justice, that have been very impactful for you as a podcaster?
Let me see. One of the guests that I really enjoyed was Christopher Chan. That was one of the episodes I recorded while I was in New York. He goes by Honor Roller on Instagram, and he makes these really incredible wooden sculptures, but they're shaped like sneakers. And really? And I mean, it sounds weird and crazy, and it is. It's really just a beautiful work that he does. But he's had his journey has been very interesting because he went to school for art and traveled around the world a little bit, and at one point had a job at Nike designing footwear and fashion and stuff. And for most people, that would be a dream job, to, you know, be a designer with one of the most important and influential corporations in the world, you know, that with, you know, billions of dollars at their disposal to get your work out in front of people. But as he was there, he saw that that's not where he wanted to be, that wasn't, you know, what his mission was, not to make shoes and T-shirts, even though that would get his work in front of a large audience. And what I took from that was, I think we are in our society very, in some ways, obsessed with success and having the right job and living in the right place and doing, you know, doing things in a way and, you know, making the right kind of money. And ultimately, it confirmed for me that none of that really matters if you aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing. So I enjoyed that conversation. One, learning about his craft and how he, you know, makes the art that he makes, but also hearing from somebody who, you know, kind of was, I would say 9 out of 10 people would say that was a dream job, but you know, but for him to pursue his dream meant doing something different. And I think that's a very, real thing, is to, be willing to chase your dreams and make them a reality, and understanding that, you know, success can look like many different things.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And, I think that how you define success is ultimately up to you. I've kind of, it makes me think about, like, recently I've kind of looked into like ratings and stuff like that for podcasts. And then I eventually was like, I don't even really want to concern myself with that kind of stuff right now, because I'm not doing this for ratings or to have the most downloads or anything like that. I'm doing this because it's very fulfilling and rewarding. And I know for you, very similar to myself, this was born out of, you know, I don't want to say like the need for desperation to fill a void, but it was born from something that at one point in my life, it felt like when I went through my mental health challenges, I felt like my life was over. I felt like, how do I go up from here? How do I pick up the pieces from this? You know, and I want to kind of get your perspective on that, because for me, my podcast it started out as that, and it's being also, like, especially in this time, like, it's very instrumental in like what it is that I have going on and keeping my sanity. So how has it helped you, and what role, like, can you talk a little bit more in depth about how it helped you in your recovery?
Well, it definitely gave me something to do, which I think was important. Immediately after kind of losing my job and not really being sure, I just started doing a lot of creative things, so I wasn't just being idle, which I think, and you know, that's definitely not a good thing when kind of going through a recovery process, is to be engaged. And then I think for me, it was about the authenticity of it, and being self-actualized. I felt like that was one of the things that contributed to what was to my stress and the decline that I had in my health, was that I didn't really feel like I was doing me. You know, I was doing well at the things that I was doing, but I wanted to feel like I was in control of something, and that I was kind of moving, was having success. I guess going back to that, you know, what is it, defining success? So I think that's how it helped me, was to know that I could start something, I could, you know, have an idea, I could execute it, and I could, you know, I could then move on to, you know, and I could do that episode by episode. That it was also about, you know, seeing my own ideas kind of be successful. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you're working for somebody else, it's ultimately about them being successful in their project and their goals. And you're just you're the labor to make that happen.
Yeah.
So I think for me, it was about, you know, taking something that was inside of me and that I felt was important, and seeing it become successful. So I think that's how it helped me, was not just, you know, having something to do, but having something that I cared about and doing it well, and seeing it just come to fruition.
Yeah. Yeah, that's over the past couple weeks, month or whatever. Actually, it's a month today. It was my last day working, April 6th. Today's May the 6th. It's given me a sense of, like how you said, something to do, but a sense of success, because now that I'm putting this energy and this effort into my podcast the way I would a full-time job, I'm really starting to see the benefits of my labor. And I'm only like 2 weeks in. And so I think something that is important, not only for us, but for other podcasters, to understand that you're going to get out of this what you put into it. You know, like, I'm investing a lot of energy and time into like the flyers and the marketing of it, not necessarily solely to build my audience, but because I know that the message that I'm pushing and my intent and my purpose behind it, I want to be able to reach more people. You know what I'm saying? And be able to network and meet more people, because I've learned a lot about myself from interacting and meeting other podcasters, and especially when we talk about things like mental health, and seeing how people have bounced back from that, and how, like, I think I want to say you're like the third or fourth person that I've run into or that I've met who has turned to podcasting after experiencing some sort of mental health challenge or an episode or something of that nature. And it's really a beautiful thing because these people have some amazing shows and they're creating some dope content. You know what I'm saying? Like, your show's absolutely phenomenal. And I believe as society evolves and as we continue to push the envelope forward, talking about mental health and different things that are important, like whether it's the criminal justice system or capital punishment, or even if it's just shouting out the local restaurant that's got good burgers now, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it is that may be, you know, I think podcasting is really going to become a new avenue and medium for us to do that, especially as, you know, creatives and different types of creatives, you know, and Black creatives too. I think that's something else that I'm a space that I'm kind of in the podcasting world is, you know, other Black podcasters and what they're talking about, because we do have similar experiences, but as Black people, specifically as Black men, we're very diverse people. We have different experiences, and I like how I'm meeting other brothers who have different experiences, and they're showcasing that through a podcast, showcasing their different interests and creative abilities through podcasts. It's just a really a great thing to see this. But I know that it also comes with its challenges too. You know, like for me, in my podcast journey, in talking about my mental health, it's difficult for me to do that and still be challenged by my mental health. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's difficult for me to be an advocate for getting help and resources and seeking therapy, and then I'm going through stuff and I still have to do that for myself. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's very draining, and it also could be at times I felt embarrassed a little bit about it. You know, there's some episodes now that, like, I kind of cringe at thinking about some of the things that I've said, but I think it's all a part of the process of healing, and I'm glad that I'm doing it. And that's one of the challenges that I've kind of run into in podcasting is just, it's just continuing to do it, continuing to push the message, you know, while still being affected, especially during this time with, you know, the pandemic and everything. So have you run into any challenges like podcasting? It doesn't necessarily have to be like with your mental health, but like, what have been some things that have maybe prevented you from being consistent, or challenges that you faced being a podcaster?
Well, yeah, and I have had some challenges in wanting to, you know, what do I really want to share? How far do I want to let people into my life and my experiences? And definitely a relevant thing. I think it's important to be vulnerable in that way because it creates a connection, and with not only with your audience, but I think it's also about wanting to tell. I think that's part of the healing process, is that if we aren't talking about the things that we're struggling with, then we can't address them. And even if that conversation is with ourselves, sometimes we learn a lot just by kind of hearing ourselves talk out loud or really going into those places. Mm-hmm. So that is a challenge. And even as I plan out my own episodes, I'm at a place right now where I do need to do one of those more introspective episodes and talk about my experience. I brought that into my podcasting and I don't want to let it go. But having the time to do it, I believe in doing research. I like to write scripts for my podcasts. I like to, I like to make graphics and do things. So it's a kind of a multimedia experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of that just takes time. There's an episode that I'm really excited to get done now where around the Tampa Bay area, somebody has been uncovering forgotten graveyards. So these are places, you know, they were burials happening in those places for many years, and then, you know, maybe 40 or 50 years ago, they then, you know, sold that property for a public school to be built on, or for a housing complex to be built on. And I think there's a lot of I'm really excited about these episodes, but right now one of the people I want to meet with, she's with the University of South Florida down here, so she can't meet with anybody because of the lockdown. You know, I'm still working, fortunately, but, you know, so I still have a full-time job. I've got a wife and a daughter whom I adore, and, you know, being husband and father takes up time that I'm happy to give, but that's time that I don't get to spend being doing podcasting. So, I mean, I think all of it, you know, it all takes time. You know, it'd be wonderful if I could do nothing but podcast and devote, you know, the bulk of my day to figuring all that stuff out. But, you know, I've got to squeeze it in with fixing toilets and blowing off the roof and cutting the grass and helping my daughter with her schoolwork and all the things that life comes with it. So that's the hardest thing, is just finding the time to do it and do it well. I think that's the other thing is when I've listened to some pretty bad podcasts, mm-hmm. and you know, I don't want to be in that vein. I feel like if I'm going to put my time and energy into doing something, yeah. it's got to be done yeah. well. And, you know, so I think that's the other challenge, is not just finding the time, but really crafting something of quality to share.
Absolutely. I know that's, I'm somewhat of a perfectionist. And as I'm learning more about podcasting and even hearing other people's podcasts, it's like, I want to make my show better. I definitely want to improve the audio quality. I want to buy more equipment, but I'm also learning to kind of give myself space and time to get to that level. You know what I'm saying? I really look forward to looking back. Like when I hit my 100th episode, being able to look back at the episodes in my 20s and 30s, numbers of episodes, and being able to see the growth, being able to see the difference in the quality and see the difference in the content and maybe revisit different topics in the future. So I think that as this, for myself, as it grows and as I evolve, specifically with my show, because it's like a diary, that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to in the future, is being able to look back and see that growth and see that process and being able to see the different points where I knew that I had a turning point and experienced growth. So I think that's mm-hmm. the best thing that I look forward to. But I definitely look forward to watching your show, well, not watching, listening to your show, and working with you in the future, because I just, like I said, your show is a very unique experience that I haven't experienced in a lot of podcasts. And so I'm happy that I was able to do this episode with you to not only showcase your creativity and what it is that you are able to create, but to also show people that there's so much that you can do with this. Like, I never thought to add the kind of content and descriptive and visual and all the other senses aside from listening to a show like you do. So I just think it's great, man. I like this series that I'm doing, and it's really giving me balance. It's definitely helped with my mental health. So I don't know. I want to go ahead and kind of finish this up here. So do you have any questions for me maybe that you want to ask, or...
Well, first, again, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to share a little bit about Journeyman's Journal and Static Core with Diary of a Mad Black Man and your audience. Blake, I commend you on your bravery for being willing to just share very openly about your experience and how you're building and moving on, and also for using your platform to just shout out other people. If you had... I ask any advice for somebody who's listening, for, you know, what you think I could do better or different in my podcast, what would it be?
Advice for a listener to, I would just say to, I think something, so advice for a listener listening to your show to make it better. Is that what you're asking?
No, I'm saying if anybody's listening, what advice would you give them about starting their own podcast? I guess a second question would be, what could I be doing better or different, or what do you want to hear more of from my podcast?
Got you. So advice for somebody wanting to start their podcast, I would say to just start mm-hmm. with what you have and just get it done. Because once you get past that first episode, each episode after that becomes easier. And because for me, that was my biggest hurdle. And also, don't be so attentive to details, to the small details of what it is you're doing, because as you grow in this podcast world, it'll get easier. So that's what I would give. That's gonna be my advice to new podcasters. Just get started and don't get caught up with the nitty gritty details of everything. My advice for you, for your show, some things that I would like to see and hear more of. I would like to hear more about you. Like, a lot of your stories are just that, stories about your experiences. Like, they're very live and in the moment. I would maybe like to hear more, a little bit more about the author, about you as a person, you as a father, you as a husband, your experiences now. Definitely, for me personally, I would like to know more about specifically how you transitioned from, you know, your, when you lost your job, to how you, like what were some of the steps you took to rebuild your life, to be a father, to be a husband? You know, what was that like for the people in your family? I think an episode on that experience would be good for me to hear. And just keep doing what you're doing. Like, that would be my last piece of advice for you. Keep doing it, man, 'cause I really enjoy your show. Definitely appreciate the visuals that you had, because it gives me visuals. Even though it's audio, it gives me visuals. So I like that. Definitely keep that up.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you for the questions and feedback. And I've enjoyed this journey with Diary of a Mad Black Man.
Absolutely, man. This was a great episode. So to those of you all listening, be sure you check out the description box to find out for all the links and everything, where to find Javon, his podcast, follow him on all the socials. Of course, you know, all my information is there as well. This has been another great diary entry in Diary of a Mad Black Man. You all stay blessed and highly favored, and take care.